You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's FA Cup tie against Witton Albion.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake. And you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll also be hearing how FC United women got on in their own FA Cup encounter with Bridlington Rovers. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with a date for your diary, as FC Youth will be celebrating in the newly opened SMRE on October the 27th with their very own Halloween party. The party will take place before the match at 12 noon until 1:15. For more information, please contact Chris B at fc-utd.co.uk. Whilst also keep an eye on social media this week for an announcement on an upcoming Corsican Malcolm's afternoon under the SMRE as well. And finally, the club announced late last week the arrival of goalkeeper Jordan Perrin on loan from Championship side Wigan Athletic. Perrin, who's 19 years old, will join FC for a short 28-day loan period to act as cover for the first team. Here's David Chadwick on his new signing, as well as an update on the injury situation at the club.
We've had in training, we knew the situation with Dave Carnell 2 weeks ago. So I had a little sniff around to see what we could find, and we had one or two reports on a few different keepers. Wigan kindly let Jordan come in and train with us for the last 2 weeks now. So, you know, he's been able to feel the place, and he came to obviously Nuneaton last week, did the warm-ups. So he's been gradually brought in, but he's a young, big, strong, confident player. He was down south with Arsenal up until a couple of years ago. So he's experienced in terms of training all the time. He's looking forward to joining in. So obviously Lloyd's not fit yet. I had to look around for something different. Obviously it's not nice. I'd like to keep a bit more consistency in the squad, in the team as well. You try, and especially because it's been a rocky road so far this year, and obviously I'm the second manager in charge. You want to get your team settled down quick. You know, you don't want too many changes. But in a way, it reminded me of a bit like a pre-season in the last few weeks, where you're moving players in and out, and because you're trying to gauge what they can do for you. And it's not ideal. But, you know, the lads have responded great. And all I can ask is for work rate and hard work. So that's what they've been doing. So, yeah.
David Chadwick there speaking to FC Radio on Friday afternoon. To Saturday's match now, and to hear if FC United could overcome Witton Albion and make it into the hat for the fourth qualifying round of this season's FA Cup, it's over to FC Live now at Broadhurst Park.
So hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. FC Live, another FA Cup special for you all. Emily's here, Roy Shuley's here, but first, because I've been a naughty boy and not done my homework, I need to go to the teacher. Paul.
Okay.
Yes. Go.
Six of the best. Witton. Just before I go talk about Witton, our record in the third round qualifying, 5 wins and 1 defeat.
Not bad, that.
That's not bad, is it?
Not bad at all.
Good omen to start with. Thought you might like that.
I do like that.
Witton this afternoon, Greg Hall in goal. He's a Manchester lad. He's ex-Glossop, Trafford, Main Road. Been around a bit. Very useful. Big unit in midfield, Cesare Linguba. He's Congolese. There you go.
Oh, okay.
That's his quirk.
Right.
Rob Hopley, centre forward.
He's Rob Hopley. I know Rob Hopland.
72 in 138 games.
Yes.
So quite prolific.
He's the one to watch this afternoon.
Yeah, very, very dangerous man.
And Foley.
And Foley, yeah, and Billy Smart features also on the team sheet. So there's obviously scope for that later in the afternoon.
Am I missing something there?
Billy Smart?
Yeah. Well, I'm only 35. What?
I think Roy can tell you all about Billy Smart as the afternoon unfolds.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that. Anything else to add, Paul?
At this stage, well, yes. Apart from the fact our record is very good in this competition, the five teams we've beaten at this stage in the past, Stalybridge, Buxton, Kendal, Stockport, and Norton and Stockton.
Buxton, of course, we had to go to a replay, as
well,
I
remember. Well, two of those are replays, of those five.
Yes.
The only team we've lost at this stage to was at Harrogate 2 years ago.
It's always down to your law, isn't it? Yes, okay.
So there you go. Blame Emily for that one.
Thank you as always, Paul. Okay. Much appreciated. We'll be hearing from Stato Paul at half-time, but it's now time to bring in our expert commentary team for this afternoon. Not just me, of course, expert, but Emily Maguire and Roy Sewell joins us as well. Firstly, Roy, to you, what are you expecting this afternoon?
Football game.
Thanks, mate.
It's all right, yeah. Don't worry about it.
And Emily, obviously, obviously, when it comes to FC United, and it's something we've been touching upon in recent weeks, not quite getting a settled lineup. There's changes again. Yeah, Joel Senior's not even starting or even on the substitutes bench this afternoon. We all know about Billy Priestley's injury that he picked up last week. It was always going to be a bit borderline this afternoon. He's gone with Sam Tatum and Lewis Thompson as fullbacks, and it looks like two at the back with Chris Lynch and O'Halloran. Lynch is always injured but runs it off, and Winter's always injured and Winter starts as well. But it's
I think it's a bit of a miss, Priestley being, you know, unavailable, because Lad Hopley up top is quite formidable in the air and knows where to put the ball when the white post and goal and bar is there in front of him.
Well, Witten, I watched Witten against Shaw Lane last season, and I think Manchester Airport were rung in advance to warn them of the ball, because it was a very high game, that one, let's say. It's like playing football on the moon. But they are, Cal McCauley does like a direct style of football.
He does, yeah.
And I think we benefit from having Lynch and O'Halloran back there, but they have to be on it today, don't they?
I think the biggest problem we'll find is in midfield areas, because, yeah, they do go a little bit long in the initial ball, but then they move up support and rat around for that second ball. And if our lads aren't on the ball and aren't prepared for a high tempo pressure, they could be caught wanting and also caught in possession.
The other thing to add as well, it's a strange formation, this. I've not quite worked out, but we've got Jones and Winter in midfield, but we've also got Crawford, Donoghue and Bannister. So it's going to be quite attacking with Kurt Willoughby up front. Kurt Willoughby obviously will be playing for England C on Tuesday, so we don't want it to go to a replay, not just because I want a pie at Glossop in the Manchester Premier Cup, but because we'd be without a striker then.
Oh, steak and onion pies up there.
I know, aren't they, Roy? Obviously, the news that we brought you yesterday on FC Radio is Lewis Mansell's back from Blackburn. Obviously picked up an injury, I think, on against Chester, but he's back on the substitutes bench, as is Cole Lonsdale, Jordan Perrin, Palinkas as well from our youth setup, Joel Logan, Elliot Samoes, and Theo Brealey as well. But the FA Cup's so important to FC United, but it's so important this afternoon and this season especially.
Yeah, I mean, because of the financial restraints and what have you, you know, that FC find themselves under, definitely. But there again, you know, it's important to the likes of Witten as well. You know, it's a lifeline for them sometimes. Like, you know, when you can pick those little bits of grands up now and again for each round, and, you know, it doesn't matter how you go through. So long as you're in the hat for the next one, you know, to be able to compete for it.
And the draw is obviously on Monday, and we want to be in the hat by hook or by crook. But it's a big afternoon for David Chadwick as well. There's not been helpful news from Tameside over the last 24 hours. A bizarre post put up by another football club, I have to say. But he needs a display this afternoon, because his confidence is going to be taking a knock after that news.
No, David, I mean, I've just been speaking with Chaddy, and Dave's a level-headed lad. He won't let that mither him as regards, you know, the work rate that he puts in, you know, to doing the job he's been asked to do. It's disappointing, I would say, more so from the areas that it's come from as opposed to the areas it's delivered at. And, you know, if that's how people
it's not
wish
the way to operate, is it? No,
if that's the way people wish to conduct themselves, then that's fine, you know, there's no problem. Just ignore it. That's the best.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll wait for the teams to come out now. I might as well give you the starting 11, just to let you all know as well. If you're listening in from Witten, you're more than welcome. Witten Albion, of course, played them numerous times, had some lovely games of football, some not so lovely games of football, but hopefully we're bringing you a nice game of football this afternoon as the teams come out now. So I'll give you the starting 11 for... in fact, you know what? Emily, you give the home team. Roy, you give the visitors. Emily, you're up first.
Wonderful. Okay, in goal for FC United, we have Dave Carnell. Number 2, Sam Tatum. Number 3, Lewis Thompson. Number 4, Mike Jones. Number 5, Chris Lynch. Number 6 is Steve O'Halloran. Number 7, Jamal Crawford. Number 8, Harry Winter, the captain. Number 9, Kurt Willoughby. Number 10, Mike Donoghue. And number 11, Jack Bannister. On the bench for FC, we've got Palinkas, Perrin, Lonsdale, Logan, Mansell, Simoes and Brearley.
There's Gardner now with this throw-in. The right back taking the throw-in on the left-hand side. In towards the penalty area, the ball goes. Ball's bouncing around. Whoa. It breaks to Foley.
And there's a supporting man.
Yep. 10 minutes gone, FC United concede, and we can't say that's not been coming.
No, it hasn't been, but like I say, you know, it's not the initial ball that goes in, it's that the supporting runs of the players.
Here's Tatum now. Tatum plays the ball back to Carnell. Carnell plays the ball out to O'Halloran. O'Halloran's got a bit of space over on that left-hand side, plays the ball first time to Thompson. Thompson comes in field with it from that left-hand touchline. Down the line it goes, finds Donoghue. Donoghue's got time to turn and out to the left-hand side, finds Bannister. Bannister now, looking dangerous, crosses that ball in, it's a shot! Oh, what a finish! I'm assuming it was a finish.
Yeah, it was. He looked so he meant that.
Jack Bannister there, and out of everyone in FC United's attacking half, he's the one who's looked the most lively.
Yeah, he just cut inside on his right foot and just hammered a crossing rather than a shot, and took one bounce. I feel that the defending players of Witten was masking the actual shot on the ball, the way the keeper just didn't react.
Yeah, the keeper didn't. He wasn't expecting it. He's done well.
And the way we've been playing, we do have to assume it was a shot because there was no point putting a crossing.
No, there was nobody there. And the way he struck it, the pace in which he struck it at, you know, it was one of them where he knows where the goal is, and he's had a little look up, and he's taken it to the right hand side of the play. He's just tucked back in, and he's hit it.
O'Halloran plays the
lovely
ball to Willoughby. Here's Willoughby now heading out towards his right hand side. He's tackled there, but can win the ball back. Willoughby shielding this ball, been fouled there by
Fowler.
Brilliant.
Go on, plays the ball quick. Oh, don't be silly.
And there was an off the ball instant there.
No, absolutely nothing in it.
Oh,
there's nothing in it.
Willoughby's been sent off.
He hasn't done anything there.
And
look, this player here, he knows exactly what he's done.
It's Billy Smart.
He's made that up. It's right in front of us, and he did nothing, Willoughby.
Well,
Smart has landed on top of him, and he's rolled away as if he's been struck in the face.
The referee, we've seen this so many times. Sending a player off without discussing it with his assistant, who's got a better view of it, and the assistant is there.
Absolutely, that is shocking behaviour from Billy Smart, because he.
Well,
what's
happened is that, like, as the ball's been played quickly, they've both turned into one another, haven't they?
Yeah.
And as they've sort of bumped
exactly
into one another, they fell over together. That's it.
Yeah, that's all it is. And he's landed on top of him. Billy Smart has rolled away, clutching his face as if he's been struck. That's an absolute joke.
Well,
and he knows what he's done as well, because he's looked
over. Oh, look at that smile from Billy Smart there. That was. Well, there we go. There you go. And Billy Smart smiling to the main stand. He gets a yellow card, but not for the incitement. A corner to Witten. Dangerous times there from FC, though. James Foley's going to take this. 18 minutes into the second half. and it comes towards the back post area. It's a free header for Humphries. Yeah, the ball breaks to Hopley. And Hopley scores the second goal for Witton Albion. And Witton Albion, on 19 minutes in the second half, take the lead 2-1. You knew as soon as you saw Humphries on that back post there, you knew where the ball was going.
Yep.
Throw in 18 yards from the Witton corner flag for the team in white. McKenna comes deep for it.
Well done.
And McKenna goes down like a sack of spuds. Dreadful refereeing, absolutely dreadful. And he's going to butt Witton, who's already on a yellow card, and he's got a second red.
That is the refereeing, is it? It's the player that's on the floor that's done it.
Second yellow, Winter off, and that's the end of the game. And it's been ruined by a lot of kidology and poor refereeing.
We've got to say also that some of FC's players
some of the players haven't stepped up. No,
they haven't been at the ball at all.
No, it's some players out there, they've had a very disappointing display. Not just
the thing is, Emily, they get the opportunity that they've been craving, and they don't take the
they don't take it with both hands.
And it's a nice ball.
Keeper's out of his goal.
Brewster's there, but Thompson
Brilliant
as well.
Thompson
tracks back, but Brewster wins the ball back. Well for done, lad. Oh, and he goes down.
Well done, lads, basically.
And Samoa's is going to get a red card.
Oh,
Samoa's second yellow, kicking the ball away, and that was a booking. And if he's mouthed off for the first booking, and FC United now down to 8 men, that's the end of the show, I'm afraid.
But right from the off, there was players out there that for some reason didn't appear up for it. Within their attitude and how, you know.
Thing is though, Emily, they have the opportunity that they've been craving for, possibly because of lack of opportunities, and they don't take the best of it.
No, and, you know.
And the work rate.
There's players there that they didn't put it in.
Work rate's poor. You know, attitude to work rate's poor. You know, you look at that and you're thinking, you know, 2 out of 10. You can't do that if you're competing in a game. You can't do that. In a boxing match, I'd have said that they didn't necessarily, you know, win on points. We never got our foot in the ring with some of our players. They never even wanted to, contest the fight and the story. You know, I cannot weigh that up. I mean, that's because of the person I am. You know, I'm a competitor. I always believe in, you know, doing the giving the, you know, the 100% and what have you in whatever I do. And I'd have been disappointed in myself there, you know, let alone the result, because that's, you know, that's where it lies.
Well, if you are joining us, like, FC United gone out by 2-1, down to 8 men. I mean, let me just repeat that. Down to 8 men. From the looks of it, one of those red cards was deserved. Although saying that, Elliot Samoa's was contesting for his first booking, a very, very, how can I put this, a handball on the line, which it looked like from here. Right,
that was handball on the line.
Yeah,
I've not seen anything more clear, as well as the penalty. And there's been three big decisions.
So Elliot Samoa's was booked for mouthing off because of the said handball on the line, and then straight after that, he's sent off for kicking the ball away. So
then make
stupid.
It easy.
He's immature.
And it was blatant as well. It wasn't like in the you know, the spur of the moment. The ball was still. And he was asking questions and just kicked the ball away.
He's kicked the ball away
20, 30 yards.
You know, and that would have only affected FC United anyway, because that's the time that we needed. So he's just very immature, silly behaviour from him. And I'm you know, I saw the reaction from Dave Chadwick down here on the line. He was not impressed or happy with him at all. And rightly so. That was totally and utterly unnecessary. You can almost understand the reaction with what was. That was a handball on the line. I could see it. You don't behave in the manner in that manner. Not in a game like this, when you've already had a player. You know, you've lost a player. Then you lose your captain to something that's something and nothing, you know.
It was nothing.
It was.
I mean, I can't remember what the first yellow was for, but the second yellow. I mean, to be
the
fair,
the first
McKenna,
yellow was. This goes back to
what, this is what I was saying before about Willoughby sending off. I'm all for making the most of a challenge to try and get your opposite player, but right, it happens.
It happens. I don't agree with it. It's not something that I'm all for.
No, but you don't give
them
the chance, and that's what Winter did.
Up until that point, on the first sending off, you maybe gave Smart the benefit of the doubt, but when you see his conduct at the end of the game, that possibly sums his action in that sending off, right? And it just basically compounded everything. No,
let's not talk about the sending off. Let's talk about the performances of some of the players who performed.
People that performed, you know, O'Halloran. Stepped up at the back.
I thought he was a man of the match.
He had to work really hard, and you could see it in him. His communication, the effort, how much of a fight he had all the way to the end, to the last, you know, the final whistle. He stood out.
He showed a bit of pride in his own performance, didn't he? You know, that was the thing, and you know, you could see that. And to be honest, you know, throughout the season, he's had a couple of ish and questionable performances. But today, for me, he was man of the match. And excellent.
Apart from the first 15 minutes where the game plan was as you'd come to expect from Hopley and Jones with Foley and McKenna picking up the pieces, Lynch and O'Halloran were a bit outnumbered. And you were saying Winter and Jones needs to drop back and support them. And that's kind of what we were caught out with in that first 15 minutes. But after that, really... The second half we did concede another.
I think
easy
Winter
goal.
Was trying to do the two roles. I think he was trying to do the cover in front of the centre back.
He had too much to do because there was one person missing in that midfield.
Yeah. And you know, for me, Michael Jones might as well have not been on the field.
Well, he didn't have any effect in there. And when he had the ball, he gave it away. And he did. You could see that in him, and it's a surprise to see that sort of a play and an attitude from a young lad that is want. You know, you think that he's wanting to play the game.
Well, they get they moan, and they obviously are disappointed when they don't get the opportunities. Yet when they do get the opportunities, they don't make the most of it.
But I think, you know, when you're playing alongside somebody like Harry Winter, the energy that he has. That would be enough for me to step my game up, though. You know, I'd be wanting to... You've got somebody like him leading the line in front of you, but like you say, he had too much to do in there, and he tried his hardest to get the job done, but it was too much. I mean, because for me, Witten, they surrounded the players. You were saying right from the start, Roy, about them. They were picking...
Everyone for a man,
it was everyone for a man, and they knew the game plan. They were unset. They unsettled us right from the off. All that needed to happen was them FC to just get the ball down and play it around them with a bit of pace and step it up.
Where do we go from here now, Ron? Because the money's important. And the prize money's been upped in the FA Cup. Mm. And, you know, I was looking forward to that first round and when we could all argue the toss about if we're going to be on TV or not, and beggars can't be choosers. But that's a big thing we've missed there.
Well, it is, and you know, I just feel that you get your dividends from what you put in, and if you're honest with yourselves, Witten were the better team. They wanted it more.
They wanted it more. They worked harder in every position.
They covered ground, you know, because they wanted to succeed. We had players that were sauntering along, you know, at a nice steady pace, you know, in a nice sunny afternoon, even though it's cold in the stand. But the fact is, like, you know, I think FC have got what they deserve, you know, through lack of player effort, commitment.
Well, it wasn't really until the last
and enthusiasm.
5-10 minutes.
Yeah, but even then it was only a couple of players, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Thompson leading the line now, this left-hand side, who was...
And he had a steady little game, didn't he?
He did, which is, you know, it does... does quite, you know, bring the question of what was the game plan at the start, because I've seen Thompson where he's flown up and down that line and he's put defences under pressure and he's got in behind them, but he wasn't doing that he wasn't doing that from the off, and it wasn't until it was desperation times where he really did then just go for it. And I think a lot of that was just his own, in his own mind, I'm going
to he wanted to prove a point, didn't he?
Yeah, and that's it. And it's, you know, so there's a few things within the game where you just think, well, it was an unusual way to set up and come out. But I think a lot of it was down to individual players, their own attitude, because we had... You have Willoughby, who, you know, your centre forward, you want him in and around the 18-yard box. But during that first half, he was having to come so deep towards the halfway line to actually get anything into the game. And he was trying to create things almost for himself. And you know, and that comes from your midfield not... Well, your midfield pair not doing enough and or one of them having to be overworked. And as well as your wide players, you know, we had Crawford, who wasn't getting forward enough and didn't have the touch today.
I showed you the example there when they had a corner with Crawford up top on his own, stood right in the centre circle.
Yeah, making life easy
with two players on him, and he just stood there with them. He marked himself. What he should have done was he should have gone either out to the left or the right, split them two off, and been on a one-on-one, and just leave one side open for the ball and other players to move into.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you know, when you've got no brains, I don't suppose you can you can motivate yourself to do the right things in the right way. So
we are joined now by Mr. David Chadwick, and well, I mean, where do we start, Chadder? I mean, what's your assessment of that game? that's not too broad a question.
I think, obviously, I'm just going off quick time. I thought we started slightly slow in the first 10 minutes.
Yep.
But then we got an ascendancy. When they scored, it was slap marking, switched off. But then we reacted really well to that, and we took the game to them, and we fully deserved the equaliser. We were on top, and then the referees give us sending off. Now,
you were stood just in front of that as well, wasn't you?
Yeah, well, I was watching the ball. The referee, I pulled the referee at half-time, I went into his room, and he said the lad was rugby tackling to the ground, he was shaking him off, and he's caught him with the elbow. He said there was no choice. So I'd like to see it again.
Rugby tackle to the ground?
Yeah, there's six. That's why the six got booked, because he was rugby tackling him to the ground.
So what does Willoughby do in
Willoughby
that situation?
Willoughby should just probably lie down and play dead or something.
That's interesting. I mean,
if he's gone with an elbow, I'm not having it was intentional, because he's not that kind of person. He's wriggling off to he took the quick free kick to go.
Definitely.
He slowed him down, he's chucked him off, and if he's caught him, he's caught him. Like I said, I'll have to see that again.
I mean, the second half comes, we are down to 10 men, you've got a few choices to make. Perrin comes on, I'm assuming Carnell's
calf had gone, I think after about half an hour. And so then Harry Winter's back had gone as well at half time.
That's your engine room gone.
Yeah, so I'd lost my engine. I mean, I'm not making excuses, to be honest. We switched off for the set piece again, and it was a free header, and then it was a free tapping. That's not good enough, because we contained them second half, because they couldn't break us down. They didn't break us down all game. They were relying on the set piece of the two big lads.
But we knew that. I think we all knew that we were going to come that way. But
we set up the second half to try and get the big guy on and keep it into his feet, and then get the pace up to join him. But then obviously they've scored the set piece. You've got to try and force it more then. But again, they still didn't really trouble us. But you get another one sent off, you're down to eight. Again, that was just tired and an injury. But I was late. He was just slow to the tackle. Mm. Now the referee can use his brains on that one and just say, look, Joe, you know, just be careful. He's made two fouls all game, he's given two yellow cards.
I mean, I'll say this so you don't get in trouble. He's another referee who's very quick with his cards, and that's what happened there. I think the Samoes one is a bit more clear cut.
That's just a young,
that's childish.
A young lad, which costs you a player and cost your teammates.
I do have to say though, in Samoes's, if I could say something positive about Samoes's introduction to the game, he did give us a bit of bite and a bit of tenacity that we were missing.
He did well, but he's got to learn them things. He's got to learn quickly. He's a young lad, and he was frustrated, not as frustrated as some, but he's got to do it in a different way. Do it by rattling the back of the net, you know, it's
upping his work rate.
Yeah, yeah.
Pressing his opponent. These are the ways you get rid of your frustrations.
Leave one in on somebody in there.
Yeah.
Don't be kicking the ball away like that. You know, it's a bit petulant, isn't it? But you know, he's a young lad. He's learning. You know, I'm not gonna crucify that, because he's a talent. He's a little young talent, and he'll learn from that. You know, and I'll speak to him on Tuesday. But he's, you know, it's one of them. Now we just.
Where do we go?
we go to Glossop and win, and we show the first half performance there. For me, we had the tempo, we had the ascendancy in the game. You know, we still weren't creating enough. Don't get me wrong, but you could see it coming. You could see him building it.
I'd just like to mention the two opportunities in the second half, right at the death, where there was a penalty shout.
And that's
it was a penalty shout, and there was also, and I'm dying to, I can't wait to see this back on FCTV.
Handball.
I'm pretty sure there was a handball on the line where he basically saved it.
And I didn't see that.
I know, because there was a melee, but he did. Yeah. I think he did save it with his hands, and that's why Samoa's got booked in the first instance for mouthing off for the penalty. I mean, I don't know what to say about this, because it's basically, we could talk about various players and that kind of thing. But the whole thing's been overshadowed by the way that Witten come off at the end. It's like, oh, it's so mixed emotions. I don't know how to.
Do you know, there's emotion everywhere, but you've got to hold, you know, have a bit of respect as well. And that's why I was over there pushing them out of the way. Just go away. Yeah, the people are upset in front of you, goading them a bit. Just use your brains. You've won. Just go nicely. Mm. No, don't be doing that. It's petulance, isn't it? It's kid stuff, you know, and you don't need it. You know, they're creating an atmosphere like that.
It winds situations
up.
Yeah,
it does. It does. But, you know, that's...
That's what it is.
That's what it is, yeah.
So, I mean, you've got a big job on your hands now over the next few days. I mean, that's... It's not just a defeat. It's the nature of the way the game actually ends and all that. I mean, there must be so many emotions flying around at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we pick this up now?
No, we go and take a reaction. You know, to me, we didn't deserve to lose that game. With 11, 10 and 9 men, we did not deserve to lose that game. They didn't cause us any issues apart from hustle and bustle, trying to pick up the second balls and set pieces.
I feel, David, that I didn't feel we created enough neither.
No, we didn't. No, definitely. That's
and
that's
more so in our tempo as opposed to our style of play. Because if the tempo was higher, especially in the midfield areas, I feel that we'd have won a lot more second ball. Mm. You know,
I think we lost a lot of second ball, especially around the core of the pitch.
Well, the seven was just picking the ball up, you know, at will.
Well, McKenna, we knew what the game plan was. It was going to be Hopley and Jones and McKenna and Fowler picking up the pieces.
Yeah.
And that's what
that's
they did.
That's what they did.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say to you, Spanish Chadder. I mean, it's a bit...
Pick yourself up, dust yourself off and go again.
We're ready to go. I've just had a good chat. You know, the lads are gutted in there, and there's a bit of passion being shown right now in there, which I want to see. You know, I want to see people upset that you get beat, and not people sat there telling me what they're doing tonight and laughing and joking. You know, because that hurts me more than getting beat. I'll be hurting for days here because I'm a winner, and I want winners on that pitch. And you know, I'll create winners around that pitch if I have to.
And just to add, I mean, we talked about the injuries there. You've got injuries and suspensions now to deal with.
Yes.
Firstly, what lineup are you going with Glossop? Are you going to go for it, or are you going to give some of the fringe players a chance?
I'm going to win. I'm going to play my strongest team and win.
And for next week, it's back here at Broadhurst Park. And
yes.
What's your message to your dressing room for that game against Arlo?
Let's get through Tuesday first, and let's put a performance on there that'll give the lads confidence and kick on into Saturday. You know, we've got a game before that, 90 minutes. A lot can happen in 90 minutes. So we take it there, we're positive, we get on the ball and we make things happen. And we'll take that into Saturday's game.
FC United caretaker manager David Chadwick there, following FC's 2-1 defeat against Witton Albion on Saturday afternoon. Not too much time to dwell for Chaddy's side though, as FC United return to action this week with two matches. Firstly, on Tuesday evening, the Reds travel east to take on Glossop North End in the Frank Hanna Manchester Premier Cup. The address for the ground is Surrey Street, Glossop, SK 13 7AJ. Admission is pay on the gate, £8 for adults, £5 for over 60s and £2 for under 16s. Kick-off on Tuesday night will be at 7:45pm. And then on Saturday, it's back to league matters as FC United host fellow relegation battling Darlington. Kick-off at Broadhurst Park this Saturday will be at 3pm. But remember, as always, if you cannot make these matches in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Tuesday evening from 7:30pm and on Saturday afternoon from 2:30pm, right here on www.fc-radio.co.uk. FC United are calling on all supporters to get involved in the BP Boost, a development fund initiative set up to help raise much needed funds to assist the club in clearing its outstanding debts. BP Boost has been established to encourage all supporters to try and raise £20 a month any way they can. So if you'd like to get involved in the BP Boost, please email vinnie.thompson@fc-utd.net for your fundraising pack, leaving your name and address. Make no mistake, every penny counts. So join the BP Boost Drive today. Thank you. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United welcomed Bridlington Rovers to Broadhurst Park for a Women's FA Cup third qualifying round encounter. To hear how Luke Podmore's side got on, it's over to Ben and Paul.
Foster now, forward to Fields. Fields lays it off, encouraging O'Gara forward over on that right-hand touchline. O'Gara now, cross comes in. O'Keefe controls it on the edge of the box. O'Keefe still with possession. Through ball, finds Chambers. Chambers is onside! Yeah! 23 minutes on the clock and the deadlock has finally been broken. FC United have been banging on the door for the last 20-odd minutes. And finally, O'Keefe finds Chambers, who's onside, slots it home, 1-0 Paul.
Clever pass from O'Keefe.
Well, FC United launch a bit of a counter-attack here. Foster, a ball down the line there. Look at the pace from Battle. Battle into the box. From defence to attack. Battle! Oh. 26 minutes and the score is now 2-0. Just as we thought Bridlington were going to create something there. Harding couldn't bring it under control. Foster, lovely ball down the line. But what pace from Battle, Paul.
Well, devastating pace. He just left the defender for dead.
Good strength there from Battle. Here's O'Keefe now. O'Keefe looking out towards the right hand side. Finds Mather. Into the box. Mather goes. Mather lines up a shot. 27 minutes gone. 3-0 the score. Mather from a ball from O'Keefe. And, well, FC United, it's a long road back now from Bridlington.
It is.
In more ways than one.
It just looks like an afternoon of torture coming ahead for the Rovers here. Corey Mather.
O'Gara to Foster. Foster with a nice ball there, and Battle's onside again. Battle for a fourth. 29 minutes on the clock and the score is now 4-0. Mather, midway into FC United's half on that touchline there, plays the ball forward to O'Keefe. O'Keefe turns, plays the ball down the line there for Battle. Battle's going to get to that ball. Stewart's out of 6-yard box. Battle round Stewart and slots the ball into the Bridlington goal. And the score on 43 minutes is FC United of Manchester 5, Bridlington Rovers 0. Greenall now with the ball. Out to Cara Fields. Cara Fields with a through ball there. Battle is onside. Battle now to the byline. Crosses that ball into O'Keefe on the near post. And within 30 seconds of the second half kicking off, the goals continue to fly in, Paul.
Well, Bridlington made three changes at half time and they've already been undone.
So, chance for Foster here to score FC United's seventh. 52 minutes on the clock here. Front of the SMRE. The crowd do the talking for me. 7-0.
Pretty routine penalty.
Foster infield with the ball. Give and go between her and Fields. Foster's dispossessed though there by Bridlington's Thompson. Thompson brings the ball out. Here's Groves. Groves out towards the right hand side for the overlap there for Mitchell. It was cut out well by McCarrick. Here's Chambers now with a ball into the box to Battle. Is he going to. Oh, O'Keefe gets it. O'Keefe scores
and the goalkeeper's injured.
Well, she is the referee going to give that goal? She nipped it there off the. It's a goal. I was just checking because Battle got to the ball. Goalkeeper looked like she was favourite for it, but O'Keefe just got a stud on it, didn't she? And then blasted it into the open goal.
It's pretty ruthless stuff.
8-0. And McCarrick can retrieve possession. And here's Foster now. Foster plays the ball there to Fields. Fields lays it off there to Battle. Battle, I think she's going to be the goalkeeper this time. Rounds the keeper. And here comes number 4 for Jess Battle. And number 9 for FC United. Fields down the line there to find Mather. Mather towards the byline on the right hand side of the penalty area. Battle with her 5th goal. And FC United make it 10.
Goal for FC United, number 9, Jess Battle.
McCarrick's in loads of space on the left hand side. So much space. Driving forward, she's gone about 20 yards. Finds O'Keefe. O'Keefe's in space now. Finds a through ball to Jess Battle, who's onside. Battle surely. It's 11 for FC United and a double hat-trick for FC United's goal machine, Jess Battle.
And it was never in doubt.
So, Rebecca Foster now with this penalty. Same place as the last one, 12-0. Jean now plays the ball towards Fields. And look at the space. O'Gara's in here if Fields can find her. And that's a lovely ball to find O'Gara, who's onside. O'Gara now, good first touch into the penalty area. She's lining up across to Battle. Oh, Battle makes it 7 goals for the Lancastrian striker. And it's now 13-0 for FC United. Full time here at Broadhurst Park in this third qualifying round match in the Women's FA Cup. And it's finished here. FC United and Manchester 13, Bridlington Rovers 0. 7 goals for Jess Battle, 2 goals for Rebecca Foster, a goal for Corey Mather, 2 goals for Amy O'Keefe, and a goal for good measure a long time ago now in 23 minutes, which opened the scoring, Kirsty Chambers. And Paul, it's been a dominant display, nearly 80% possession for FC United.
44 goal attempts.
44 goal attempts, 27 of which were on target, 2 off target for Bridlington.
I think one of the things that comes to mind is the fact that the women's team always give the air of a team that has extra players on the pitch.
Well, Bridlington came here. Admittedly, we are a couple of steps above Bridlington, but they come here with a good record, and they've beaten some sides on the way to this round. But FC United have just been dominant all the way through. They attempted to contain FC United in the opening 20 minutes. It was working out for them, but as soon as Kirsty Chambers scored, it was boom, banger, bang, wasn't it, from there on in for FC.
Another ruthless day at the office. I don't think Bridlington expected a Sunday roast, but they certainly got one this afternoon.
Well, let's try and digest some of the performances this afternoon. I mean, Jess Battle, she got the sponsors player of the match. I mean, it's a given, really, if you score 7 goals. She's just, how many goals is that, Paul, for Jess Battle this season?
In this season?
It's a lot, isn't it?
I've not got that figure in front of me, but it's, I know she's scored, what was it I said before? It was 18 in 8, and she scored another 7 today. It's 25 in 9 in the last 9 games. So, you know.
Headache thinking about that.
That's an incredible figure.
You know, Luke Podmore today chose a different formation from one they normally play. Obviously, we normally play one up front, and he's gone with O'Keefe and Battle, and I think that was the key to this afternoon, to be honest with you. I think we take it as a given, the three in midfield, Fields, Greenall and Foster are the ones who are going to break up everything. But the two up front, and then with support from O'Gara and McCarrick from the back, and the wing play from FC United's Mather and Chambers, there's just no stopping it this afternoon. It's like a steamroller.
I just think from front to back, or back to front, the FC team had far too much skill, pace, movement, physicality. They ticked all the boxes this afternoon that the other side didn't have in the same measure. and it showed all over the pitch. All the personal battles were won all over the place. The passing was better, the movement was better, the finishing was there. And, you know, we scored 13, it could have been double, couldn't it?
It could, and all credit to Bridlington Rovers. I mean, they were getting cramped by 70 minutes, and it's like we said, really. If you looked at it, and you know, we got some statisticians in to work out, you know, how many yards people are running, they're going to be running miles for little reward.
I think when you're running defensively, it's like double the pain, isn't it? Eventually, because running with the ball, I think, is easy. Running without the ball and backtracking all the time, that's what hurts the muscles and the legs. And they were forced to do far more running than they wanted to today, chasing the ball, and they just weren't getting near it. That's the depressing part. They changed goalkeepers at half time. They put three subs on at the start of the second half. It made absolutely no difference. As you mentioned, Emmy O'Keefe could have had a hat-trick a number of times and didn't, but Jess Battle made up for that and scored seven herself. And there's just goals all the way through this team. It's not just about one player.
Just to say, Chadwick went off injured last week. She's limping, but she's out and about, and she's not on crutches or anything, so that's good. I'd imagine she's got a couple of weeks before she's back.
Probably, and of course Luke doesn't need to risk her.
No.
That's the good thing. So we're in good heart, and of course we've got the trip to Penrith next week coming up in the league.
Absolutely. So it was already an historic cup run for FC United's women's team, but just to confirm, we are through to the first round of the Women's FA Cup. And this is uncharted territory for FC United, and one that the club should be congratulated for, and everyone connected with the women's team. It's superb stuff. The draw is on Monday lunchtime, so look out on the club Twitter feed, the women's Twitter feed as well, for who we've got, and hopefully it'll be somewhere interesting away. Who joins the fun and games at the first round?
Somebody we can get to.
Yeah.
Without too much hassle.
Speaking of which, next up for FC United is Penrith Ladies away from home. And I think they play in the main stadium. It's at Frenchfield Park, which is somewhere up near Scotland.
Scotland way.
It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. At time of recording, we're not too sure whether we're covering that game or not. I've got childcare issues, so we might be there live. If not, look out for the post-match interview with Neil Boo. But hopefully it will be there, but we'll wait and see. Paul, closing thoughts to you before we hand over to our podcast listeners to our post-match interview with Luke Podmore.
I don't know what Luke will say, obviously, but I suspect that the FA Cup was one of his main targets for this season in terms of progression. It's one of the things we've not been able to do so far, have a long run in the FA Cup for the women. And I think he's probably targeted this season as that's one of his objectives, to help put the club even more on the map in terms of national coverage.
Well, 13-0 this afternoon. A great afternoon had by all. It was we came on air saying this is the women's team's like the sorbet for our coverage of FC United, and it certainly has been very refreshing this afternoon.
It was possibly the flambé for the Billington side.
Anyway, thank you to everyone who's joined us this afternoon. A big congratulations to Luke Podmore's side. Congratulations as well to Jess Battle, double hat-trick hero plus one. And a big thank you to Stato Paul and Neil Boo for joining us here on Women's Team Live. But it's finished here in this third qualifying round match in the Women's FA Cup. FC United of Manchester 13, Bridlington Rovers 0. And we'll see you all on Tuesday evening for FC United's men's team against Glossop North End in the Manchester Premier Cup. Farewell.
Okay, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and goalkeeping coach Mark Partington. It's been another terrific day in the FA Cup for us. A resounding 13-0 victory. Pretty much everything went to plan there.
Yeah, I thought we started a little bit slow. I don't know, there was a bit of nerves or, again, the occasion. But once we got past that first 20 minutes, we started to be us and we started to play with a bit of conviction. And yeah, once the first goal went in, we just grew in confidence as the game went out. And great stuff to see us score 13 again.
Yeah, I think it got to the point where I think there maybe the resolve had gone. I think they put quite a lot of effort in, the opposition, mm-hmm. Billington, but they never really threatened us. And like you say, once that first goal had gone in, it was like the floodgates were coming out every 5 or 7 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's everything that you need for us to put us into the FA Cup first round proper for the first time.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Like, you know, the girls deserve it. They've, like I say, been immaculate today at the back as well. You know, all the attacks were started from the back, and yeah, we just was us today a lot more than we were before. You know, we played the ball really well, played some really incisive passes in around the box, and we're still standing here looking. You know, I spoke to Mark before that we should have had another 5 or 6 more, especially if we look at some of the chances we missed today again. But again, we've got to be happy with 13 and. You know, move forward to next week and Penrith back to the league and hopefully we get a decent draw on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, a victory is a victory, but a scorekeeping coach, you've got to be more pleased with it, with these repeated nils that we keep getting. It's 4 out of 5 so far.
Yeah, it's not by accident. You know, we work hard on our defensive structure. If the girls are organised in front of Chloe or Gemma, then they shouldn't have a lot to do, and it's paying dividends. You know, we're quite difficult to break down. We play to a structure. We know everyone knows the jobs. We know what we're doing, and it's working.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if your team gets regularly 3 or 4 goals conceded or something like that, it gives you, there's lots of more things to work on. But I mean, what do you work on when you keep getting clean sheets?
We just try and keep them sharp, keep them focused. Concentration is massive for us. You know, it only takes a second to score a goal, so we just keep them focused and we set them goals, set them targets. We want as many clean sheets as possible. So yeah, we just work on keeping them sharp, because there is going to be a game where they're going to be called on, even if it's one save in a whole game. It could be the save that wins us a game, so they're as equally as important as Jess scoring 7 up the other end.
Yeah, like Gemma's fingertip effort and that free kick last week.
Yeah, exactly.
If that had made it 2-0 from that free kick, then it gives us a lot more of a hill to climb. But we don't seem to climb too many hills at the moment so far. But obviously the games will get much more harder as we go on, certainly in the FA Cup.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think last week when we played Bootle, I think, you know, at half-time, that was a real test of character and a real test of the team's strengths. And you know, we came through that again. We scored 4 second-half goals. So we've got that attitude about was where we, you know, we was always, like Mark said, it takes a second to score a goal, and we believe that all the time. And no matter where we're 2-0 down, 1-0 down, it doesn't matter to us. We keep trying and keep being patient, and you know, so far so good. But yeah, we're looking forward to what the next challenge will bring in the FA Cup. And, you know, that's the nature of the cup, it's the glory of it. We're ready for anything.
Thanks, Neil. That's it for This Club Is My Club this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.